Okay, here we are back, working and working during the break here. Never enough time to get everything done. Okay, now some of you are able to go look at that footage during the break. I know that Mark and Brett are not online, so they haven't been able to.
I'm online now, Jeff, and I'm looking at the pictures.
Ah, did you see the disc in the beginning?
Yes, and I also I looked up the Nazi footage. Very interesting.
Did you hear the music and saw the disc rotating?
Yes, I sure did. Yeah, okay. That was pretty ominous looking.
Pretty damned impressive, and I don't know what it is, but there's apparently a black spot that opens up on the top of
crane.
And then it folds down and is not seen again. It's like a vent opened up and then closed up.
Yeah, I saw that. I was going to mention that.
Yeah, and if you see underneath it, you can see one of the round, they used to call them the Adamski. There are three round orbs under these craft, and as we know.
Yeah, the Adamski type of...
And you can see that in there. And I think that footage is real.
I'm inclined to think so, too. It's you know, I got the sense that there was something about it.
And many of those photographs are real, too.
Those photographs were interesting, too. I looked at all those.
Well, good.
Very, very interesting.
Again, if you joined us late, just go to Rents and look under the guests, search our archives, and type in German flying saucers, and you'll see it come up. First thing at the top of the page that'll come up in search results, I put that together a couple of years ago, and it's mesmerizing even to me to this day.
It is. You know, when we take
something
the time
was
to
going
look at
on
those
there.
Things, it's interesting indeed.
All right. Let us go back to Brett and Mark's archives here. We've got two of the cloud pictures that are repeated. I'll take those out tomorrow. And we looked at the chimney shot. Now, next below the chimney, we have, I don't know what we have. What do we have?
Is that the one that looks like it's kind of glowing?
Yeah,
with the little insert there.
Yep.
Yeah, that one I shot, it was kind of a dark sky. I don't remember, I don't think it was nighttime, but it was like a real dark kind of sky.
Mm-hmm.
And I videotaped this. It doesn't come off as good as it did into my eye, but it's like a yellow-orange bright UFO.
Well, it's a disc with a dome on the top of it of some kind.
Yeah, you can see the little dome area.
Sure.
And it's...
Yeah.
It's all glowing, you know, like a plasma field effect around it or something.
Right.
And
very nice. That must have been spectacular.
It was something else.
Next up is the submarine shot with an inset in it.
Yeah, the one that goes straight up on the video.
Yeah.
And that's a strange object. I mean, it's like a bar, horizontal bar with something on the top and bottom.
It's black on the top, black on the bottom, and you can see, obviously, an extended top, a bubble on top of this disc-like. It's a right-angle disc, and you can see it looks like a top to it.
Yeah, and then on the bottom there's a little something there.
Yeah.
Don't know what it is. And
not Mylar balloons. Oh, sorry.
No, that one's definitely, you know, more mechanical than that.
Yeah. Okay, and the next one, we're sort of back to that little
October
orb 6th. With the diamond under it, and that's the October 6th stuff.
Yeah, that's the one. That's where it goes, you know, it goes to the left and goes behind my building.
Mm-hmm.
And
very good. Now, the next one... It does look like it could be a Mylar balloon assemblage, but go ahead.
Yes, the reason I took this particular frame from the video was because it was such a weird looking shape, you know, with the black top on it, and but this object was changing shape. This is just one of many, many shapes that it took. Sometimes it would be like an oval. Sometimes it would be. A more complex looking thing, and but this is just one of the many shapes it would take. Again, from frame to frame, it would change its shape.
Can you imagine how many miles, maybe, of film. There in fact is in crates in a warehouse somewhere of German UFO flying technology that we're never allowed to see. Somebody grabbed that. That's probably about 18 inches worth. Somebody grabbed it and smuggled it out, and there it is. That's what happened. Yeah. There's tons of stuff that we're not allowed to see.
Well, that was a pretty awesome piece of footage, actually.
Okay. Yeah, I pulled in tight and did some interesting work on it to try and highlight it more. And it's
it was excellent. I'll be looking at that one again.
All right. Next up is our
little gray
friend, if that's what he had.
Now, three fingers.
I can't wait to see the one without the three fingers. We'll put them side by side.
Yeah, it's more. This one's the better of the two shots, but the other one, you can still make out the two eyes and the forehead, and there doesn't appear to be a hand in front of him, just the head, the face. Yeah.
Very good.
Do you have the, when I was going through these VHS backup videos we have of that particular tape you're talking about, I noticed that there's two really good shots of the three-fingered alien. Are both of those shots on the website? They're definitely
two. Just one.
Okay,
one.
There's a second one.
We're missing some of your material. It's supposed to be on one page.
It's because we're unorganized. But I'll tell you what, if I can, I know there's at least one more frame, and Brett says there's another one. So with the hand,
it's not you. It's we. You've been on three times now, and all your stuff is not here. It's supposed to all be on one archive page. So I'll try and round up the rest
of
it.
You did a pretty good job. with all this.
We'll get there. Okay, next up, below the three-fingered alien waving at you, everyone, is another picture of a cloudy sky with an inset.
Kind of an ovoid disc or
I've seen that
thing.
Shape before.
Yes, I have too.
Yeah.
And
whoever these people are, and there are probably a number of different civilizations here. They've got bases here. They've probably been here far longer than we have.
I think for thousands of years probably.
Oh yeah.
You know.
They got underwater bases, underground bases. It's all they do is simply move faster than the eye can track, which is very easy to do. How many people walk around during the day staring up in a bright sunny sky anyhow? Nobody.
I know.
And they're flying around. I saw somebody who would set up a camera and just turn it on and let it run, a video camera, for, an hour or two, however long the VHS reel would go, and then go back and slow it down and look at it, kind of frame by frame-ish. You got 35 frames a second. And he often would come up with, and this was in Canoga Park in L.A., he'd come up with a disc or a craft moving across two or three frames from upper right to lower left, top to bottom, whatever. They're up there and they're moving around just too fast for the eye to track.
Yes, I believe that. And speaking to that, I did one time I did something similar. I was videotaping one UFO out my window, and then I actually got tired of looking at it, so I set the camera down sideways on its side on my chest of drawers, which was next to my bedroom window. And the lens happened to be pointing out the window, and I forgot to turn it off, so I just let it just ran for like an hour or something. And when I came back and played that back, I had a UFO going across the
there
sky.
You go.
Yeah, just by leaving the camera on, and yeah, it was amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, now next we have a series of six images, three side by side. Well, tell us about that.
Yeah, that's one of the few that I have a date for. That was my brother's birthday, June 1st, 2000. And this object came, believe it or not.
Not this brother, another brother.
No, this, my brother Brett,
Uh-huh.
And but this object actually was, it peeked out from behind the Channel 4 news building, it was that low. You know, it was peeking out behind the building, and it just stopped. It just hovered there for a second, and then it shot across my field of vision, and I videotaped it. I managed to get it, it's like it paused and waited for me to get the camera up and running, and then it shot across, and I could
videotape it. That may not be too far of a stretch.
Yeah, it certainly felt that way to me. It kind of just paused, and then...
Did you ever see the picture? There's a place, I guess, in Denver, up on a rise above the city, not far above it, but above it, and people will go up there and they'll set up their cameras and do the same thing. They'll let them run. And a number of people caught, including one of the television news stations went up there, and they actually caught a disc coming down on an angle right into the middle of the city, the area they were at, and it went into the ground. They couldn't see it go into the ground, but it came straight down and disappeared in amongst the buildings. Yeah, and I'm talking about two- and three-story buildings tops. It came right down and went right in to wherever it was going. There's so much out there.
Yeah. That's the kind of thing I like to hear, because it's so strange. Like, where did it go, you know? And it was there, and then it goes into the... Did it go into the ground? Or,
we think so,
you know, like,
yeah.
What's it doing, you know? Wow.
Well, that's the idea about what's underneath DIA.
Right. And how do they go into the ground? Is it
how
like some
it?
Kind of
how did
molecular
it?
Phase technology? Or?
Well, we have the other people who've reported these things going into mountains, too.
I know. Yeah, they go right through the side of the mountain. And
remember, because matter is mostly space.
That's matter is 99% space or more.
It is, and somehow
so
they're able
to know how to align it, you know.
Yeah, then you pass right through a solid object.
Right.
It's amazing.
Not really a big mystery when you think about it. If you understand atomic structure, it's space.
Right. It's just that these guys seem to have mastered that technology. I mean, it's like really like child's play for them.
Right, right.
They
okay,
just do it.
The last picture is a freeze frame of that...
Nighttime
the camera sees what
footage.
The eye doesn't. A night shot with the camera, Mark didn't see anything, and this is what was on the footage.
Yeah, that was so strange. It was just like they're demonstrating that they can be seen or unseen by the eye or by the camera as they choose, you know.
Wow. Okay. Very good. Now, we have some time left for news stories. What do we want to do?
Oh, gosh, I have a few here. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be looking at a computer when I'm talking. But
distracts the mind.
Like, huh?
It distracts the mind.
Yeah. Last time on our last show, I think I talked about the two gray ETs that visited me in my room.
Yeah, we should we should revisit that. People don't remember. It's not their fault. There's a 98% memory loss after 5 days, 50% overnight. So,
Gosh. Yeah, okay. Well, I think it would be, you know, this was fairly somewhere between 98 and 2000 that I just laid down to go to bed, and my mom was in the living room. My bedroom door was open so that the light that she was reading her book from came into my room, so my room was illuminated enough where I could see what was happening in the room.
Yeah,
so I laid down, and all of a sudden there was like, I was just laying there with my eyes open looking up, and I saw what appeared to be a semi-translucent head and neck of a gray at profile looking down at me on the bed. And I just marveled at it. I didn't move or react or anything. I just looked at it. And then there was a blur across the room, and it ended up at the foot of my bed. And so I'm looking down at it. And all of a sudden it starts moving towards me, but what starts moving towards me is just the head of the gray, not the body. It was just a head that moved up about a foot above my body. It just moved up and to close to my chest area and stopped, and then tilted downwards and looked directly at me, and it had like the hugest black eyes. I mean, they were jet black. A little bit of light from the other room was glimmering off the sides of the black eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't mention this last time, but I didn't see any ears, nose, or mouth. I just saw the shape of the head and the giant black eyes. And I don't know why there was no nose or mouth, but I didn't see anything like that. So this thing tilts his head down and looks down at me. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I start to panic for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And in that panic, the only thing I could think of to do was to say a prayer. So I said a prayer for protection. And as soon as I finished my prayer, the head came down and touched its forehead to my forehead. And I could feel it. I could feel the pressure of its
And you're
touch.
Awake. You're wide awake at this time.
I'm wide awake, yeah. And I had just laid down. I mean, and I'm an insomniac, so it takes me a couple hours to go to sleep. But so it touches his forehead to mine, and I feel a pressure and sort of an energetic feeling, like an electrical feeling. It doesn't feel like flesh. It feels like energy and pressure on my head.
Anything of an intellectual response in your mind?
None whatsoever. I would have liked—I'd like to be able to say there was, but there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But what I did when it touched his head to mine, I felt something move inside my head from the center of my forehead, horizontally across my above my left eyebrow, and there was—it felt very distinct, like something large moving in my head, and I'm sure it wasn't large, but it felt large. And I don't know what that was. I don't know if they were putting something in my head or taking something out of my head or what. But
that's really a remarkable encounter. And how old were you approximately when this happened?
I was about 40, 41 years old.
Just a kid. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. And I feel that way now. I'm 66, almost 62 now, so... Yeah, that was just a kid. I was in pretty good shape then.
That's terrific. Yeah.
Yeah. After it touched its head to mine and I felt that thing moving in my forehead, there was a blur across the room. This thing seemed to just, like, go super fast across the room.
Uh-huh.
And in the middle of the air in the room was a small black, jet black area. Kind of like a ball, a black circle.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing seemed to go into the black circle, and the black circle disappeared. And that's how it exited my room.
Would you give me that again? How much of the ET body did you see, or could you see? You're laying on your back, I get that.
Yeah, well, when I first saw him, he was standing right... Mm-hmm. Alongside my head on the side of the bed. He was standing right up next to me. And well, I say standing because his head seemed to be, I don't know, maybe somewhere between 3.5 and 4 feet off the ground. And
you could see his hips, lower legs?
No, I couldn't. I could only see the head and the neck and part of a shoulder.
Okay.
And it's like he was sort of halfway phased in and not entirely there yet.
So it's not something you felt you could have reached out and poked with your finger? Not at that point?
Even though the head looked opaque and solid, he seemed to diminish. He went transparent as you went downward. So I don't know if I could have reached out and touched him. But he was opaque. He wasn't translucent. You know, the head part wasn't anyway. And
got it.
Yeah. And then when the head came up over my body, as I was, you know, from my feet up over my body, the head became very super real looking. The way I described it to my brother is like hyper realistic. It looked more real than more high definition and more real than reality. You know.
Very good. Very
yeah.
Good. All right, Brett, your turn.
Well, I don't have anything to compare with that story.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, Mark's got some good stories.
Well, I was going to say I could pick up kind of from after that experience, I had a couple more encounters in my
like
bedroom.
What? All right. Tell me more.
Yeah. They weren't encounters with a gray or anything, but another night, sometime shortly thereafter, after that gray encounter.
It wasn't Heather, was it?
No, although she's, she's something else. But, no, I
it's
laid
a little
down
humor, that's all. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Couldn't resist.
Yeah, this was another night, and I had just laid down to go to bed again. And again, I don't fall asleep right away. It takes me, 1 to 2 hours to fall asleep.
Wow.
So I had just laid down, and maybe a minute after I laid down, I saw out of the corner of my eye a black, here we go with the black thing again, but it was a black, the only way I can describe it is a tetrahedron. It's a black tetrahedron.
Okay.
Kind of maybe 18 inches off the floor.
That's a rectangle that's been kind of squashed or shifted over.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
It's like a parallelogram, but different. All right.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And it was jet black, and it was about 18 inches off the ground, probably.
Huh.
Off to, just a few feet off to my side.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what's that? And then all of a sudden, it darts to behind my head. It darts around to the back of me, and as soon as it does that, before I can turn around to look at it, I felt like I was gripped in a vise, more like my head was gripped in a vise, and
huh.
I could feel, the only way I can describe it is like a brain drain, like something was draining my brain or downloading my memories, because in front of my eyes, I could see like a strip of film vertically, rolling by really fast, and I could see all kinds of memories. And it was like something was draining my memories. And I fought it, and then I sat up in bed real fast, and I said no. And it stopped, and the black tetrahedron thing actually went right through the wall out and left my building.
This is the same bedroom?
Yeah, same bedroom.
Through the wall.
Yeah, it went right through the wall underneath the window, the portion of the wall that's underneath the bedroom window. It just went right through it.
Ah, remarkable. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Weird.
We have to pause just for a little bit. We'll come right back with Brett and Mark and continue right after this. Our last half hour with Mark and Brett. Now, have you ever gotten what we might commonly call messages or input or even feelings or sensations from our friends and visitors who come here all the time?
I have a few things. Nothing really profound, but I did have some communication, very little, but...
Well, you had a cosmic touch on the forehead.
Definitely had that, and again, no communication that I am aware of. But
it's in there.
Yeah, I think it could have been something at a more subliminal level that I'm consciously unaware of. But,
yeah, but looking back at the chest of drawers there in the back of your head, it's in there. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, that's a good idea. I have thought about having a hypnotic regression just because...
There you go.
Yeah. I haven't done it yet, but I mean, I'd be open to that.
And, if you find... Now, you're up in the Seattle area, right?
I'm in Spokane right now.
Okay, all right. There are people up there, and we can find some through MUFON, but you really, if you want to do that, excuse me, What are you filming there? There's one to go back and look at for sure. The brain touch, the head to head touch.
Maybe I can see his
face. The head to head touch is another one. You've got a lot of things. If you can find a good regression therapist and have the time, I would go for it. Yeah.
Well, I think that's something I should pursue, and I'm curious enough now, especially because of this show and my writing of my book. My curiosity is rekindled. I'd really like to get
good. Well, they'll record it, and we can play portions on the program. We could do all kinds.
That would be awesome.
Oh yeah. There's a lot out there. So
very interesting. Yeah. I'll definitely look into that and give it some thought.
Good.
I'm definitely open to it.
Good.
And speaking of communications, I have a couple little stories. They're kind of. One of them's kind of humorous, actually. in this one, I was in the shower again, I was going through a short period where I was becoming a little paranoid and a little bit anxious over my UFO and alien encounter experiences, and I was beginning to think maybe this isn't a good thing. Yeah. And so I'm in the shower thinking about this, all of a sudden there was like a little vertical sliver of white light, and a long, like a 6-inch long gray finger came down and whacked me in the middle of the forehead.
Come on.
And it just kind of appeared out of the thin air.
So the light, a light in the air, a light white spot
like,
in the air.
Like a little vertical sliver of white or crystal-like colored light,
and was, you're looking at this. You've got a clear view. You got a clear view at it, right?
Right. I'm looking. It's just like in front of my face and slightly above. So I'm looking forward and slightly upwards.
Yeah.
And there's this real flash of white light, and this long 6-inch long finger comes down, and thumps me in the middle of the forehead. And at the same time, the message in my head is delivered that said, pay attention to what you already know. And it was kind of like, almost like scolding me, like, pay attention to what you already know. And
that's funny.
Yeah, when it hit my forehead, you could really feel it. It was quite a thump. It was just short of being painful. It wasn't painful, but it was just any harder and it would have been painful.
An attention getter. That's really
pay attention to what you already know. And,
well, I would love to have an experience like that.
Was amazing, and it just startled the heck out of me. And I guess what it was. So I thought about what it was telling me, and I thought, well, I'm experiencing this anxiety and paranoia over my encounter experiences, and I think it was telling me to pay attention to what I already know deeper within myself, which was that everything's okay, that this is not a bad thing. And
No, I think you're right. That's exactly what that was.
Yeah, I believe that's what it was. And in any event, I took it to heart, and that's the meaning that I took out of it, and I felt better afterwards. I felt like, okay, just relax. Nothing bad is happening, really.
Now, if you could just wash off that black mark from your forehead, everything would be all right, huh?
Yeah.
The gray mark.
Yeah.
Huh?
That big fingerprint on your forehead,
Yeah.
That's a great story. That's really amazing.
Yeah, it was quite astonishing. And
how did the finger disappear? Did the finger pull back into the light? Do you remember? Well, I mean, it would obviously happen quickly.
Yeah, it happened very quickly, and I think that it was so fast that it was fast but very visible. I mean, it was like, again, hyper-realistic, the finger. But it was, after the thump, it was so fast that I didn't really see it disappear. It was just like it was gone.
That's funny. Wow.
Yeah. And,
see? Gosh. We got everything on this program imaginable. Here's Brett. An E.T. gave him the finger. All right?
Yeah, basically, it was a big, long... That could be the title
metaphor
of my chapter.
Yeah,
E.T. gives me the finger.
That's funny. That's a good one.
Yeah, that one was kind of humorous, I thought, in a way, because it was just It was.
Oh, that's that's a perfect piece of humor. That's great.
Yeah,
I like it.
And that one had a scolding tone to it, like, you know, like the being was impatient with me. Just pay attention to what you already know. You know,
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, now you got another one.
I do have another one, and this one was
around. Brett have one that he wants to? Do you have anything, Brett?
I wanted. Well, at some point, I'd like to share two events that happened when I was in India.
Okay, let's do Brett's other one, then we'll come right back to you. Okay, I mean Mark's.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this one, I was laying in bed. I had just laid down to go to sleep that night, I was thinking about a girl that a waitress that I knew that I was attracted to, and so I was basically thinking. I was thinking and feeling sexual feelings and thoughts. And just as I was thinking those things, I had what I call an interface experience. And the reason I broke my experiences down into actual encounters, interface experiences, and dreams. And an interface experience is kind of like a vision. I see it inside my head, but I also see it outside my head at the same time. It's kind of like something is being projected outwardly.
Is the word interfaith or interface?
Interface, yeah.
Okay, interface.
Yeah.
All right.
That's just what I call it. But so I'm laying there, and all of a sudden I see within my mind's eye, but also behind me, and I don't know how I can see behind me, but I can see like an oval thing opening up in the room, and standing within this oval window is a small being, not a gray. This one had kind of it was about the size of a gray, but it had a long, elongated head, kind of pretty eyes that were maybe twice the size of a human eye, but not as big as the gray's eyes. And they weren't all black either. They had irises, large irises. And this being looked to be female by her structure. She had a very, very thin waist, almost like an insect. It was so small. And she had kind of again, blue-gray skin and kind of a dark forest green jumpsuit on that had kind of swirly patterns in the front of it, decorated with swirly patterns.
Oh, all right.
And yeah, and basically, I could feel a really loving kind of energy coming from her, and she basically said to me in my head, but it was her voice, and her voice almost sounded musical. She said, "We understand this in you." Referring to our sexuality, I believe. We understand this in you, but it is not the same for us. It is not in us the same way.
And, so they've gotten past the Stone Age. And
the carnal Stone Age. Lusting after the, you know.
Much more intellectual. I got it.
Yeah, but I felt kind of ashamed that I was feeling sexual while this being was visiting me. But after she said that, in kind of a musical tone, I felt ashamed of being ashamed. I felt like this being understands me so well, there's no point in being ashamed, you know?
Right. Very good. Yeah. That's another good story. Right.
Yeah, that was probably my longest communication was that sentence.
That's a good one. Okay. So many different kinds of visitors, apparently. We just don't know.
I think the universe is, galaxy is teeming with...
Teeming, that's the word.
All kinds of species, I mean.
Yeah. All right. Okay, Brett, let's see what you've got.
Okay. I had this pop. I actually wrote a few notes down, but I'm not really drawing from the notes that I wrote because this kind of came into me intuitively, so I'm going to go with this. And I had forgotten about this, at least, you know, for the show. I was in India back, let's see, my oldest is 15. She was just born. So, you know, it would have been, you know, just just after 2000, went to India and met my wife out there. She was doing yogic teacher training, teacher yoga too. Okay. So, you know, more advanced yoga training. Mm-hmm. And she finished the training up, and then I went out there and we toured around southern India for about 12 days or so. But it was interesting because I just went with a backpack out there and I non-revved out there, so I didn't buy a ticket and, you know, I just winged it, and I had no idea exactly when I was going to get there. I just, you know, hopped on an airplane, had to spend the night in Germany, and then went into India.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally got to the town that my wife was in, taking her training, we were actually in Satchitananda's home. You know, if you don't know who that is, you know, he was the founder of Yogaville in Virginia here. And, Swami Satchitananda, and they were using his home, for part of the training, for the people that were in the yoga training. And so I didn't have a good night's sleep the first night I was in India. And then I spent the entire night, I stayed awake in the airport and took a 5:30 a.m. flight to the next city, got into the city where my wife was, and I was exhausted. So they showed me my room, and you know, and I finally relaxed in the room and to catch a couple hours of sleep to mm-hmm. catch up a little bit. And during this period of time, I was having, this was a really good time in my life spiritually, because I was meditating a lot. Twice a day, and my frequency was high, the highest it's been in my life back then, before I got busy being a householder and so forth, raising children. But so I was meditating a lot, and I was very curious about the sightings that I was having, you know, the starcraft and so forth. It was very curious to me, because it's like, are these beings, are they ships, like what is this? And what are the message, you know, what's the message? Why do they keep showing up? And I had so many questions and so few answers. And I had meditated on that point, more than once. And so I fell asleep in Satchitananda's home. And, I had a vision dream. And when I say a vision dream, it was acutely, like Mark says, you know, hyper real. Okay. Not like, more real than reality is real. It was like that type of dream. And it was beautiful. It was an evening sky I was looking at, moonlit clouds from behind. The clouds were all in a layer, like, they were stratified, but they were all puffy. So they were all separate, but they were, you know, it was a very lovely nighttime scene, and this UFO was traveling and maneuvering around the clouds, like very playfully. And it was just an incredible vision. The UFOs were traveling through these clouds. And then as they moved away from me down towards the horizon, where, you know, you lower your gaze and there's a horizon, there was a five-pointed star sitting on the horizon that they went into, and then it transformed into a six-pointed star. And the message that was given to me in this vision was that we are you, and you are us. And they were explaining that you are transitioning to what we are now. And the five-pointed star represents man in his, more of his animal nature, three-dimensionalized animal man. The six-pointed star represents man in his Christ consciousness, where he awakens to the fact that he's a spiritual being and interconnected with every other living thing in the multiverse.
Right.
So this message was being, and this was all done in the most beautiful vision. Hmm. So this answer that I had in prayer was given to me in this vision the first night I fell asleep in India.
pretty wild. Yeah, so that was more than vivid. You don't forget that. That's
very powerful experience, because it was an answer too. And many of the answers that I've gotten, you know, have come from meditating on them in a serious manner, and just being patient for the answer to come. And this is the way that answer came, that they were trying to explain that they are us, we are them, but, you know, we're in the verge of jumping to another frequency. Some people call this ascension, you know, but jumping to another frequency density. That was pretty powerful, and there was one other event that happened that was UFO related in India.
Okay.
We're on the southern tip of India,
right,
meditating with this yoga group. We got up 5 o'clock in the morning. I think it was for a 5:30 meditation. There was maybe 8 or 10 of us, you know, sitting out in this, I think it might have been we were in a hotel, but it had a nice courtyard area, and we all went out there and sat down and were meditating. We did some yoga, actually, and then we were meditating afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, you know, we were all sitting there meditating. For some reason, I just got this sense to open my eyes, and I tipped my head back, and a Starcraft was literally, this thing was like, no more than 2,000 feet, going right over the top of the hotel. And right then, after I saw it, I dropped my gaze down and looked at my wife, and her eyes were open, and she looked up, and we nodded at each other. We were the only two people that saw it.
Huh.
And everybody else had their eyes closed, but, you know, it was pretty magical. And of course, it was, you know, yes, Mark.
Oh, I just wanted to say, isn't that the experience where you were told that the Starcrafts themselves were beings rather than ships?
In southern India? No, you know what? I don't remember where I got that information, but at some point in this journey, you're right, that information did come, but I don't remember where that came, Mark.
Yeah, I know you had that experience, though, at some point, where you were told that they were...
Yeah, because, well, it was this thing where we were always thinking ships, these are ships,
right,
you know,
right.
But at
we
some
call them
point,
Starcraft,
it dawned on us, that these, in fact, could also be beings, you know.
Very good. All right, we have only about 4 minutes left, so what we want to do is kind of wrap this up with any loose ends that we might have, anything you want to lay out to amplify these almost unimaginably unusual experiences, like the head touch. That's wild.
And you know what's very odd about the when you add up all these experiences, which is really quite illuminating to me, because I think of this event or that event, but I seldom think of them all strung together, and I'm even amazed at all the experiences that we've had. One thing I wanted to say is how it's strange to me that all these experiences seem quite normal to me. You would think that they would be, I don't know.
I understand exactly what you're saying. I got it.
Yeah, it's just like any other event in my life. You know, when I look back on them, it's like, oh yeah, Gray visited me in my room. You know, I mean, that's how casual it seems to me. You know,
sure.
You would think, I guess, some people might think that you'd be like, you know, going out of your mind with or something, but it just seems quite natural. It actually would surprise me if these things didn't happen, you know, and I'd be much more surprised at that than the fact that they do happen.
Well, I'm sure they are made very comfortable by that. That's probably one of the reasons they keep coming back.
Yeah, I like to think so. That's pretty much most of my experiences. The only things left, really, are some dreams, what I call dream encounters, because I think they were a form of encounter. And they involved grays, and they also, 3 of the dreams involved a tall, blonde-looking alien that actually seemed kind of odd to me. He was... I can tell one story about that if you'd like.
Yeah, we have about 2-3 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, there was in one of these dreams, I found myself inside what looked like a stadium-sized spaceship or alien base of some kind. It had a floor like a stadium, and then it went up on the sides like the bleachers in a stadium, except that it went straight up, and there were multi-levels to this base or ship.
Okay.
And on the ground level, there were lots of cubicles with low walls, and all these grays were busy doing something at all these different cubicles. And in the dream, I was standing on the side of the floor of the stadium, and behind me, just right to my behind me to the right, was a tall, maybe 6'4", blonde guy with kind of a jumpsuit on. He had like yellow blonde hair. He was muscular looking. He looked built really well. And I turned around and looked at him, and he had gold irises, and he had an expression on his face that looked like he was kind of amused at something. And I asked him mentally, what are all these grays doing? And he just said to me telepathically, they're always doing something. And yeah, and that was basically the end of that. Oh, actually, and one of the little grays came up to me and had a little wand, and he passed it up and down my body like he was scanning for something. And then he went back to work in one of the cubicles, and basically that was it.
What an interesting dream. Wow.
Yeah.
Who knows if it was a dream? Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, I know. Right. This blonde guy showed up in a couple other dreams, too, but that was one of them.
Well, very good. Very good. All right. Well, what we'll do is, if you can dig out some more images, we'll pop them up, and I'd like to see the other gray without the hand.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep in touch, and I'll see what I can dig up. I know I'm disorganized right now, but I'm sure I can come up with something.
Well, whatever. Just we'll keep adding it to the archive page and build it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so
All
much,
right.
Jeff.
Oh, you bet. We'll talk to you both again. Take good care. Enjoy. And I look forward to the next experience. That'll be fun.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, it's really been a privilege and a lot of fun.
Thank you very much, Mark. And Brett, good luck. Keep at it. And take a look at Monticello. Look for that color yellow. It's quite amazing. You can find it online, actually. Monticello yellow. Oh. Frank already found it. It's Jefferson was amazing. He really was.
Oh, I know. He was very awake.
Yeah. Okay. Both of you, thank you again for everything on behalf of everyone, and take care. All right. We'll talk again.
Thank you, Jeff. All right. All right. Good night now.
Good night. Okay. There we go. Mark and Brett, fascinating material. And we will have a talk with you on Sunday night in our best of, and then back Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed it. Take good care. Be well. And we'll talk soon.